Amen. How many can say you're glad to be in the house of the Lord? Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord? I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord. I say this often, but you know, I have a hard time sleeping on Saturday nights because I'm so excited to be with you on Sunday mornings. And I'm just so excited to be here. Every time we come together, we have a chance to come and share God's word and to worship together. And I don't come here to worship, though, do I? Do I come here to worship? No. I come here doing what? Worshiping. That's right. I come to church worshiping. I don't come here to worship. I should come here. We're learning what it means to worship. I come here worshiping. Last week, we kicked off a new series that we entitled Living a Life of Worship. Living a Life of Worship. And last week, we talked about created for worship, that we are created for worship, that it's in the DNA of who we are. It's in the built-in Google that God's put inside of us, our built-in heart, computer, our spirit. He put this Google inside of us that is longing to worship God and is seeking to worship. And so we answered this question last week. I said this. The question is not will you worship, because we're all going to worship. Well, Pastor, I'm just not a worshiper. I'm sorry. That's very untrue, sir. That's very untrue, ma'am, because we established last week that every one of us will worship. The question is, what will we worship? So what you're really saying is, I'm not really a worshiper when it comes to God. He didn't say that, did he? I just did. If you say, I'm not a worshiper, you're saying, well, I just don't love God enough to worship him. Well, he didn't say that, did he? Because the answer is that we all were going to worship. The question is, what will you worship? What will you choose to worship? And we talked about we enter into his courts with praise and his gates with thanksgiving, his courts of praise. And we talked about not only the outer court and what that stood for, but we talked mainly about that competitive court. We talked about Mars Hill and how what happened there on Mars Hill with the competitive nature of worship, and how when we come into the courts, that there's something always competing for our worship. And I looked you in the eye and said, what's competing for your worship? Because there's a war going on for our worship every day. Things are competing for your worship. Things are looking to pop up and rise to the surface and become idols in our life. We all the time have things every day that are popping up, our schedule, our money, our job, our kids, our grandkids, our family, things that are happening, our sports, our hobbies, all these things which are not bad in themselves, but when they rise up and they become the most important thing in our life, when they rise up and they receive our passion more than so than God, then these become what? They become a false idol. They become an idol. And so when we talk about the courts, we're talking about the competitive court. What's your competitive court? Remember me tossing that basketball last week and some of you almost getting hit in the head when I was asking you, what's your competitive court? And I hope today that you have answered that and established in your heart as saying that I'm not going to, no longer am I going to ever let anything come in the place of God. No longer am I going to worship anything else, any hobby, any person, any place, anything more than I worship God. And I told you about the time in my life when I remember exactly when it happened. I was there, and I can remember this clicking on the inside and me being the only one standing up. And I said, God, never again will I allow anything else to come above you. And I remember that day so vivid in my mind. I couldn't stop crying, John. I'm not a big crier. But I couldn't stop crying that day because something happened in my heart, John, where I just knew that never again will I allow anything to take away the worship that God deserves. And I put him first in my life the way he should be. And I've never again have I taken him down. I'm not going to either, ever. It's changed my life. And today we're talking about this living a life of worship. We're going to talk about this question. Is your worship about style or substance? What a question. Is your worship about style or is it about substance? How many of you know that we all love mirrors? How many have a mirror in your home? Can you just raise your hand? Who has a mirror in your home? Can you raise your hand? Every one of us do, don't we? Every one of us have mirrors in our homes. We all love mirrors. Hello. I've even heard that some guys, this is not true. I know some people put your makeup on the mirror. I know that some people comb your hair in the mirror. I've even heard this. I don't know if it's true, but I hear that some guys even take time to flex in front of the mirrors when nobody's looking. They're doing the before picture and the after picture. You know, there's something about mirrors that we have mirrors everywhere, in our homes, in our bathrooms. Ladies, you carry them in your purse. We have them in our cars. We got them for safety reasons, then we have them for cosmetic reasons. We got them everywhere. I mean, mirrors are a part of our life, and mirrors are everywhere. And when we look at worship, let's just define worship as this. Last week, we defined worship as having intense passion or esteem for a person, place, or thing. Worship is having an intense passion, esteem for a person, place, or thing. We discovered all of us are worshipers, but what are we worshiping? And we answer this question, and we answer it again today. Why am I here? Why was I created? I was created for worship. You and I, we were created for worship. And to understand that, we start in the garden of Adam and Eve, and we see where Adam and Eve, they knew that they were created for worship. It was very clear to them. They were created to have dominion over the earth, and they're created to have fellowship with the Father. And they were called to be a reflection, right? They were called to be a mirror. They knew they were called to be a mirror, reflection. If I do this right, I get the lights right there in Carlos's eyes. If you fall asleep today, it's going to be like I see you. If you wake up, don't fall asleep. I got you today, okay? But then Adam and Eve knew they were called to be a reflection of God's glory. That they were called to worship Him. They were created to worship and to reflect the glory of God in their life. They were created for this. No other thing in creation has ever been created to reflect the glory the way you and I have. No other creation has ever. Now, Scripture is very clear that all creation will sing unto God. At the trees of the fields, they sing unto God. And the rocks cry out when nobody else will. The rivers roar the praise of the Lord. All creation sings out praise. But they were never created to reflect God's glory the way you and I were. They were not created in His image the way you and I were. Why was that? Because we were created to do what? To reflect the glory of God. And so when God looks at me, who should He see? He should see attributes of who He is. When God looks at my heart, what does He see? When I look at my heart, what do I see? Do I see a heart that is longing to give God glory? Do I see a heart that's longing to live for God the way that I know that He's called me to live? To reflect the goodness of Him, reflect the mercy of Him, to reflect the faithfulness that He's given to me, the grace? Or is my heart, I look at it and see selfishness? Do I see other gods that I've placed there before Him? See, mirrors reflect a lot of things. But when God looks at us, what does He really see? What He's longing to see is attributes of Him in us that He created. Why? Because He created us to what? To give Him glory. He created us in His own image. When I look at my kids, I can't help but just take and laugh at my children because I see myself in every one of my kids. You know what? And I love that. The good and the bad. A lot of bad sometimes I see myself. But you know what? Even though I see things that they do and it makes me laugh and it gives me a lot of joy when I see myself. It's just in nature, isn't it? When we see our kids growing up and they take on the attributes. See, we were created to take on the attributes of our Father. That's the reason we were created, was to reflect His glory. When people see us, when a non-Christian sees me, who should they see? When they look at me, are they seeing me or are they seeing God? So when people look at my heart, are they seeing my face or are they seeing God's face? When people look at me, are they seeing my actions or are they seeing God's actions? Because if they just look at me, they're going to see a person who's self-centered. If they look at me, they're going to see a person who's hot-tempered, quick to anger. If you look at me, they're going to see a person who is not quick to forgive, to hold a grudge. But when they look at the heart of God that I possess, and they look and see what God has done in my life, they'll see a person who is quick to forgive. They'll see a person who is slow to anger. They'll see a person who reflects the glory of God. Are they doing that in our lives? Are they doing that in your life? See, mirrors are created, we were created to be a mirror of God's reflection. But what happened? What happened somewhere along the line in the garden, where God's very clear about Satan coming and to the garden in the form of a serpent. And sin. Honey, I'm sorry, I'm wasting your lipstick here. Guys, I don't normally carry this, okay? So, just in case you're wondering, this is not my collection. It's not even my color, so don't worry about it. Okay, anyway. But somewhere along the way, sin come along on our mirror. And this is the way naturally we would look right here. That when we look into our mirror, we have a hard time seeing ourselves because we see sin. When sin enters the world, we have a hard time reflecting God because we have sin and we're marred. And sin enters the garden, and Adam and Eve allowed it to come in. And this is the way their mirror began to look. It was pure, but now it looks like this. So what does God do? God had the ability. He could have took this mirror, cracked it, and said, you know what? I'm just going to start over, John. I think I'll just create a whole bunch of new mirrors and forget about this one that's a marred. But he didn't do that, did he? And I'm so glad he didn't. Because the Word of God is very clear about how Jesus died upon the cross, sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for you and I and our sins. And he died and he hung on the cross for over 6 hours. He took a beating. He was nailed to a cross in a way that we can not even fathom or comprehend the pain he went through. And his blood that was shed, we'll just call his blood Windex. Now, ladies, every time you get this Windex out to clean your house, and guys, when you're helping your wives, because a body for God, you're going to learn how to help your wife. When you take the Windex out to clean, I want you to think about this, that he sprayed that and wiped it with his blood. See, Jesus did a lot on the cross because he took our mirror and he fixed it. He took our mirror in our life and he took away the sin. And when we accept him as our Lord and Savior, he wipes away the sin in our life. And now we can truly reflect his glory. But the question is, what are you? Are you a mirror? We're all mirrors. The question is, what are you reflecting in your life? John 14:9 says this, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Anyone that has seen me has seen the Father. This is a very important scripture. This is Jesus talking. Because he's saying, hey, if you've seen me, I'm a reflection of the Father. Why is that important to you and I? Because we were created in the same manner that when people look at our life, they should say, when you see me, I'm a reflection of the Father. See, Jesus wasn't just making a statement about his Godhood here. He wasn't just saying, hey, I'm a part of the Trinity in this statement. But he was also saying, listen, we're called to be a reflection of who God is. We are called to be a reflection of who God is. He said, when you see me, you have seen the Father. And he comes and he restores our mirror. He cleans it so we can reflect him in bright and wonderful way. And so he turns wanderers into worshipers. The mirror of majesty of our Maker. That brings us to our aspect of a definition of worship. Worship is being intensely passionate about mirroring the majesty of our Maker in all that we do and say. Worship is being intensely passionate about mirroring the majesty of our Maker in all that we do and say. Worship should transcend everything that we do. It's a part of our everyday life. Let me ask you this question. What would God say about our worship this week? If we could freeze every thought, if we could freeze every action, if we could freeze every image, if we could freeze every word said, would those things reflect who God wants us to be? If we could just go back this last week, 7 days, if we could freeze the things that we did, the things that we said. Did it reflect who God is? Let's go back this week. Did everything I do reflect who God was? Boy, Pastor, I'm struggling with that one. Yeah, we all do. And see, that's what it means to learn to be a true worshiper, is learning that we are called to reflect God every day, all the time. We're going to talk about that statement a little more later. I don't want to spend too much time on that. But how many know that we like fashion? How many know we like fashion? People like fashion. Even people who don't like fashion like fashion. I have people say, I don't believe in that fashion, these jeans, these old jeans that I got here, and what I wear is fine, this is my everyday clothes. And you know, you're making a fashion statement by wearing those. Because you're making a statement saying, I'm not going to give in to what society's doing, I'm going to be my own person. And so we're all about making a statement with our style and our fashion. You know, as when you guys, before you get married, you thought you had it all together, didn't you? You thought you knew all about fashion, Poncho, before you got married. But now, you know, you get married, your wife. What happened? Guys, we know what I'm talking about. You know, you get married, and then you realize real soon that you don't know a lot about fashion. And your wife starts laying out your clothes, and then 10 years later, you're still inside the bed with your 5-year-old son saying, Mommy's going to dress us today, isn't she? Yes. We're going to look good today. Yes. Oh, don't act like I'm the only one who's ever been there. Okay, you know what I'm talking about. We can talk about this worship stuff all day long, but style. Listen, we like styles, don't we? And see, we could talk about worship styles all day long. We could come in today and talk about worship styles all day long. They're different for all of us. We all have different worship styles. We all have different worship tastes. We all have different things we like when it comes to things of worship. So we're not talking about just style today, but we're talking about substance. In John 4:24, we see where Jesus was talking to the prostitute. And Jesus is going to talk to her, and he's going to turn her from a wanderer to a worshiper. Why would Jesus choose a prostitute to convert to a worshiper? I mean, he was making a bold statement, wasn't he? I mean, he could have talked to anybody about this lesson, but he wouldn't talk to a prostitute. And he was going to turn this woman from a wanderer, prostitute, into a worshiper. He was trying to prove a point besides what he was trying to prove to her. He was trying to say to you and I that, hey, all of us are called to be worshipers. And it doesn't make a difference who you are, what you've done. And Jesus did this into the midst of all these Pharisees who were trying to be religious. They thought they had worship. They had worship all fixed in a box. They thought they could define what worship was. They were this righteous people who had worship defined to the law. And they could do this certain thing, and they could act a certain way, and people would think they were worshipers. And Jesus just come to destroy that myth in their life and to confront it head on. So he went right to the prostitute. He didn't go to the Pharisee right away. He went to the prostitute, and he says this to her in John 4:24. God is spirit. God is spirit. And his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. Spirit and truth. Let's talk about this word spirit here for a minute. What is spirit? What are we talking about when we talk about spirit? We're talking about our emotions. We're talking about our feelings. We're talking about the very core of who we are, the spirit that engages in us. He's talking about those who worship him. Not only is he talking about the Holy Spirit, about worshiping him through the Holy Spirit, and being connected through the Holy Spirit of the Trinity, but he's also talking about our spirit, our emotions, our feelings. He's saying those who worship God, you've got to engage your emotions. You've got to engage your feelings. You've got to be able to engage all these things inside of you that truly worship to God. But he's saying this, that you can't just be a spirit worshiper. You can't just worship God on your feelings. Churches and people who just worship God on their feelings alone, we call them granola churches. We get a lot of fruits and nuts mixed up in the bunch, you know? If we're just out there engaging in our emotions all the time, why is that? Because Scripture is very clear. He says, if you trust your emotions, he says, emotions are like the waves of the sea. They're up one day and down the next. And a person who trusts in their emotions, their feelings, to guide them, they're going to be tossed around like the waves of the sea. Up one day, down the next. Up one day, down the next. They're going to win the world one day, and they're going to give up the next day. I mean, you're up and down. So we can't just worship by our feelings, but it's a very part of it. He says you must worship him. Engage your spirit. Must engage in who God is. If you're going to worship God truly, you've got to engage your spirit. Well, Pastor, I don't believe we should do that. I believe people are in the flesh when they're raising their hands. Let me tell you this truth. You're right. And I'm going to be in the flesh until I get to heaven. And so my flesh, my spirit, my feelings are called to engage in worship to the Lord. But I can't just go on my feelings alone. I can't just worship God when I feel like it. I can't just worship God when I have those little goosebumps going up and down my back. Oh, they're singing my song. Hallelujah. I love this song. Brother, hallelujah. I speak like TBN when I hear my song. I mean, you know, we get this thing going on. We can't just go with what our spirit fills with. The Word of God is very clear. We must worship Him in spirit and in truth. What is truth? He defines it for us. It's very clear. He says, my word is truth. So he says, those who are going to worship me truly must engage their feelings. They must engage their heart. They must engage their life. They must lift up holy hands. They must sing from their heart. They must sing with passion. They must worship God with everything that calls out within them. But he says they also must have a balance of the Word of God in their life. I can't have a knowledge of who God is and worship Him fully. My spirit will never be able to worship God fully until I have a doctrinal foundation of understanding who God is. You see, I read God's Word. I hear God's Word. I apply God's Word. And I get a revelation in my heart of who He is and what His Word says to my heart. And then when I worship Him, I enter a new level of worship because I'm understanding who He really is. I'm understanding how big He really is and how small I really am. You see, it's impossible to worship God just in my spirit alone. Because if I do, I'm just up one day and down the next. But it's also just the same, impossible to worship God just with doctrine alone. I can't be, well, Pastor, we're just going to have more of the Word. We're going to be word people, and we're going to read it and consume it. You're right. We need God's Word daily in our lives. He said, it's a light into my path and a lamp unto my feet. He says, this Word is the life. It's the truth. It will direct you. It is the answer to what you need. You can go buy Dr. Field and Oprah's best-selling novels and books about self-help. I'm not knocking any of those things, but I guarantee you, none of the principles they share that will work, you can find them all in the Word of God. They're not new principles. Listen. We got to have the Word of God also. So to be a true worshiper, I've got to have a foundation in the Word of God, a doctrinal foundation. That's why the biblical doctrinals class that we just come through this past 12 weeks with Mike Morris was such an important thing. For those, anytime we offer biblical foundation classes beyond a Sunday morning, they're a very important thing because we allow you to grow in the foundation of God's Word in your life. Why is that important? Because when I grow here, then my spirit's going to engage, and then the two come together, and what happens? Poof. You want to see heaven open up in your life? You worship God in truth and in spirit. If I just do it right here, then what happens? I become religious. If I just read the Word of God only and never engage my heart and my spirit and my emotions and my feelings, if we were just a church that only did that, we would be a dry place to be, wouldn't we? There'd be no life here. But God's come to give us life, and His Word's come to give us life. So His Word opens up, becomes revelation in my heart, and my spirit engages into who He is because of the revelation of what I've got. And what happens is this. I have the Word on one side. Come here, Carlos. Come here, Matt. Word up. You can be the Word. Okay, here you go. Word up. And you can be the nut. Okay, you can be the spirit side. All right. So, if my spirit side, my emotions begins to pull me one way, what happens? If I don't have the Word as a foundation, begin to pull me, Pastor Matt. Come on, you're stronger than that. Come on. What's going to happen? I'm pulled to one side. I come back over to the middle. And if I had the doctrine, just pull me. If I'm spending all my time in doctrine and in the Word of God, what's going to happen? But when they both pull on me, slightly, gentle guys. What happens? I stay balanced. And so when the waves of the sea come along and when trials and temptations come along and crisis happens in my life, where do I go? Am I falling up? Am I falling down? No, I'm staying balanced. You see, and when I worship the Lord, I worship Him balanced in the Word and in my spirit and in the truth. And what happens? I engaged. allow the anointing of the Holy Spirit to come through His Word, to channel in my emotions and my heart and my spirit. And I worship the Lord for who He is, the knowledge that He's given me of who He really is, the Son of God really is in my life. And it changes the way I worship. Thanks, guys. You see the importance of being balanced, both in spirit and in truth. God's called us to be worshipers of substance, just not style. What's our worship look like? What's our worship look like? God tells us in John 4 that His Spirit, God is Spirit, His worshipers must worship Him in spirit and in truth. John 3:6 says this, Christ connects God's Spirit with our spirit. That which is born of the Spirit is what? Is spirit. That which is born of the Spirit is what? Is spirit. See, when I accept God the Father, when I ask Jesus into my life, I'm accepting it. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And I'm engaging His Spirit in my life. Now listen, we've got to learn to worship Him in both. We can't just engage in one way or the other. So when I have that happening, I'm going to end with this. I'm going to ask you to come forward. I believe it's time for me to stop. Even though I've got three other points to give you this morning. If I go on that, we're going to miss what God wants you to hear today. And so I believe God is telling me right now it's time to stop. I'm going to ask the magicians to come forth. We're going to sing that song, Holy, Holy. Savior's love, I want us to go back into. Holy, Holy is the Lord. That tag, that bridge. Now listen to me. God's wanting to give us a revelation of who He is. And so when I am worshiping God in my spirit and in truth, what happens? That means that even when I don't feel like worshiping God, because I have the truth, I know that I must worship Him. Even when I feel like I want to do things on my own, even when I feel like, you know what, I don't want to bow to God's authority in my life, I'm my own man, because the truth, the doctrine that I know, that the foundation that I have, it causes me to say, God, no, no. God, You're bigger than who I am. So there must be balance in our life. God is calling us to go deeper in our worship. God's calling us to live a lifestyle of worship, a life of worship. He's calling everyone to live a life of worship. But it happens when there's balance there and we engage both. That's why it's important that we're going to begin to journal, guys. And women, that's why we spend time in God's Word. That's why we're going to pray together. That's why we're going to build a doctrinal foundation at Destiny Church. We're going to preach the Word of God. It will be the authority of which we answer to. We'll continue to always preach doctrinal foundation that gives you a biblical foundation to live your life. Because you got to have that. I've got to have that. But we're also going to come in and say, God, I'm going to sing a new song unto You. I'm going to sing songs that maybe I didn't grow up with because I'm wanting to engage something new. I want to stretch my spirit. I want to stretch who I am. I'm going to stretch who I am. I'm going to allow my spirit and my heart to engage in who You are. I'm going to allow the two to come together and balance my life and allow me to go after You. And when this happens, I'm going to tell you, there's going to be a new revelation that's going to come to you about worship. We're going to talk about it more in the upcoming weeks. We're just laying the foundation. Some of you are going to begin to see worship in a different way than you've ever seen it before. Not only through our lifestyle, but you're going to see what actually is happening in the spirit realm when we worship the Lord. There's a lot of things happening in the spirit realm that some of us don't even realize what's happening when we're worshiping the Lord. We're going to take time to explain some of that and go deep into what God is doing in our lives when we worship Him in spirit and in truth. We're going to close this song. I want to join you. Just ask you to stand up with me this morning. Service this morning, just giving our heart to God, just singing this song to Him.
I place my dreams in Your house, in Your hands. I know who I am in You. No shadow.
Tell them this morning. on, church, tell me he's holy, holy, holy. Singing that he's holy this morning.
Holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord.
Listen to me this morning. Sing it real soft. I want you to listen to the scripture this morning. Isaiah chapter 6. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on the throne, high and exalted, and the train and the robe filled this temple. Above him were the seraphims with six wings. He's talking about the angels, with six wings each. With two wings, they covered their faces because they were just saying, God, we're not worthy to even be in your look upon your glory. So with two wings, they covered their faces, and with two other wings, they covered their feet. And with two others, they were flying. And they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. And what were they saying, holy, holy, holy for? Because they were saying, holy is God the Father. Holy is God the Son. And holy is the Holy Spirit. They were saying, holy, holy, holy. They were having a revelation of who God was, you see? They were saying, God, I just can't look upon your face because I'm having a revelation. I can't even look upon your glory. It's so much. And they were saying, holy is God the Father. Holy is God the Son. Holy is the Holy Spirit alive in my life. So this morning we're going to sing this again. Sing holy, holy, holy. Know what you're singing with them.
Holy is the, holy is the Lord.
You are holy, Lord.
Holy is the Lord. Holy, holy, holy. Holy is the Lord.
invite you one more time. I want you just to lift your hands where you're at. I'm going to pray for you today. I want you just to lift your hands where you're at, because I'm just going to pray that through this series of living a life of worship, that God would just reveal himself to you in a way that he never has before. It's going to help you to break through some barriers in your life. Maybe some barriers of fear of worshiping God in a certain way, or maybe it's some barriers of just being lazy and not opening up the Word of God and reading and applying to your life. Maybe it's all kinds of things that we allow to come up in our life. I just believe that through this lifestyle of worship, that God is going to break down walls in our life. He's going to open some spiritual eyes to see some things that are happening in the Spirit. And he's going to allow us to move into a higher dimension, into a new level that he's calling us to walk into. He's calling us to walk and to take us to a new level in him. I believe it's going to start in our hearts. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit today, I pray for every person whose hand is raised right now. Father, may your Holy Spirit today begin to fill them, God, with a new anointing, God, to worship you. God, to have a new revelation of who you are in their life. That God, they have a new revelation of how much you love them, how much you care for them, how much you gave your life for them. And Father, that revelation would open their eyes and would allow their hearts and their emotions and their feelings, God, to engage in who you are. And God, and we take one hand to hold the truth and one hand to hold the Spirit. And God, we lift them up to you today, God, saying, Holy Spirit, teach us to be true worshipers, God, to abandon ourselves to you. And God, I pray to Father, you would rise us up, God, not to be silent, but God, there would be a voice crying out every week, Lord, we come in, Lord, we're crying out to you, the holy, holy is the Lord. And Lord, when people are driving by range line, they just feel the power of the Holy Spirit compelling to stop and to see what's going on, because there's such an anointing that's happening through the worship of your people. There's such a new level that's happening because, God, the blinded eyes are being seen. Lord, the lame are walking. The sick are being healed. Father, you don't desire just to do that in Ethiopia, Indonesia, and Pakistan. But, God, your word is very true. And God, we believe that it can happen here today. It can happen, Lord, in the U.S. of A. It can happen in Joplin, Missouri. To God, for the people who walk in, who are needing set free, Father, they can be set free through the anointing of your Holy Spirit today, God. And Lord, I pray today, Father, that you would take us all to a new level in you, a new faith in you, our spirits and our truth engaged in who you are. And Father, we worship you, and we give you praise. We say, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Oh, hallelujah. Holy, holy, holy. Holy is the Lord. Father, we bless your name. We bless your name. Holy is the Lord. 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 This week, when you walk out of this building, what are people going to see? Are they going to see me on my job saying, God, I want to do my job as I'm doing it to you? I'm going to work my job like I'm working for you, God, so I can reflect who you are. I'm going to love my wife this week to reflect who you are in me. I'm going to love my kids this week to reflect who you are in me. I'm going to have patience for people. I'm going to show mercy, forgiveness where they didn't deserve it. I'm going to be kind to those who maybe I didn't need to be kind to. Why? Because I want to reflect who you are. I want my words to be words of positive speaking. I'm not going to speak negative. I'm not going to speak gossip and tear people down. I'm going to uplift you in my words, my actions, my heart. Who are you reflecting? Now listen to him. I'm going to leave you one more thought today. And that is this. If you leave here and say, man, that felt good, you're leaving with the wrong concept. The question should be that, boy, I liked that sermon, or I liked that song, or I liked it when we did this. And the question should be, God, did you enjoy it? That should be the question. God, did you enjoy my worship today? God, did I engage your heart today as I worship you? God, did I listen to your word and take heed? God, was my heart open to hear? See, that should be my thought when I leave. God, was my heart open to receive your word? Was my heart open to give you glory? Not God that, boy, it felt good. No, it was the God, I hope that you received the glory today. God, I hope that you, my heart was open to receiving your word. Who are you going to reflect this week? Who are you going to reflect this week? What am I going to do tomorrow when I get up? What am I going to do tomorrow when I get up, John? Am I going to worship? I'm going to worship. 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 When I get up on Tuesday, when I go to bed, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Wednesday, let me get there, what day of the week, I am going to live a life of worship that reflects who he is. And when I come back next Sunday, because I've been living a life of worship, what's going to happen? The sky's the limit. When I come and say, God, we're all coming in worshiping already, and we're just going to say, God, we want to please your heart. We worship you. I challenge you with that this week. God bless you. Hug a neck before you leave. Shake a hand before you leave. Remember, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock.